You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. Let us know what you're thinking about these young quarterbacks skipping the draft. Again, I don't think it's a big deal. P. Myers Golf asks us, any news on Gibson, Bademosi, Robertson signings? Actually ran into Johnson Bademosi at WrestleMania.
Nice.
He was with Gary Barnage and D'Angelo Williams taking in the show. And the funny thing was they made Johnson Bademosi wear a pretty ridiculous outfit because it was his first time going to WrestleMania. So he was like dressed up. He's like, man, I didn't want to see anybody I knew when I ran into him there.
Who made him?
Barnage.
D'Angelo and Barnage?
Barnage,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't want to go with you guys to WrestleMania. I've never been to WrestleMania before.
It's pretty fun.
I'm sure it is. It has to be. I've been to a wrestling match before. I've been to Raw was in San Jose one night when I was with the Niners and had an opportunity to go with about six or seven other buddies from the Niners team.
Do you remember what happened?
I don't, but we sat right behind Jerry the King.
Okay.
Like immediately behind him. So we
like
talked
how long ago? So that was what?
2000 and it would be the off season of the 2010 football season. So
oh,
like,
so I was definitely not
yeah.
there.
And then also two, Clay Matthews, Jr. Of course, myself, Tom Crabtree and Graham Harrell, the four of us attended, 2 days after, actually, it might have
after
been
after you won the Super Bowl.
After we won the Super Bowl,
I remember that.
Well, I mean, and honestly, I do
you guys
it too.
Had the belts.
Yes, we had the belts. My son actually goes; he runs and grabs the belt. Whenever we have kids over, he just wants to go grab all my trophies and like, yeah, look what we have, you know. And it's like these unique, oddball things like that I just receive at all these functions. And he goes and gets his belt, and he just comes out in it like
the
with
big
no
gold
shirt,
belt.
Yeah, with the big gold belt. So they gave us, yeah. And then we got to go in the ring after too, which was sweet.
Did you wrestle at all?
Did you take any bumps? But you know what we did is we took some break falls on the mat. You know, and then also, too, we just want to see how strong tightly those ropes were. And then we had, you know, wung each other.
There's
into,
a little bit of give. Of,
there's some give, but they're tighter than I would expect.
Yeah.
And that's, I believe, also, too, why a potentially 300-pound or 260-pound wrestler can sling into them, you know, with no holding bars simply because it's going to project them back the way it needs to.
And before they get used to it, they
and
get
we threw,
like welts.
We flung each other, you know, whipped each other around in the turnbuckle just to take a turnbuckle.
Did any of the wrestlers get in there with you guys?
Yeah, Edge was in with us.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He was the last match.
Okay.
Yeah, so he stayed and hung out.
I remember that episode. It was was it a SmackDown?
Yeah.
It was, right?
Yes. It wasn't a Raw.
Yeah.
Yep. It was
a
Thursday.
Uh-huh.
It was a Thursday after the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So
Very cool.
That's my wrestling. But besides watching it on TV as a kid, I've been there twice.
You've been there twice.
And what was that, you know, and funny if we're going to talk about it is, so we had the orange Cena shirts, you know, the ICU,
uh-huh.
The orange and blue.
No, you can't see me.
You can't see me, sorry. You know, I'm not a wrestling guy, okay. So they gave us those, so we're all in orange when I was at the Niners, and what's funny is when it was on TV, my wife was literally at home and holds my son up in front of the TV, and he's like pointing to my face on TV because I was like, you know, when I'm there, I'm in the moment. It's not like I was drinking, but I'm like screaming just like I would at a sporting match. I'm like, get him, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So and then of course the camera pans over, and I'm like this psycho crazy wrestling fan in the first row.
That's awesome. That's what you should be when you go. You got to go and just have a good time, man.
No doubt.
So Arius Miller tweets us, my coworker taped everything to my desk, keyboard, mouse, etc., as well as my chair for April Fool's today.
That sucks.
It does suck. I bet that takes some time.
Did you see like the Matt Lauer, Ellen DeGeneres pranks as well?
No, I did not.
I don't know what Ellen did to Matt Lauer. Oh, I think he was. You know what she did is, here's what it was. It wasn't an April Fool's joke. It wasn't today. It was just like their running joke was Ellen literally put Matt Lauer's face on like a naked man, you know, like dressed in leather, you know, his face on a woman, like on her show to kind of make, you know, poke fun at him. And then Matt Lauer had multiple cameras set up outside of the studio with which Ellen tapes her show. And he had a front end loader fill her car with golf balls. So when she literally went to like leave for lunch one day, she opens her car door and thousands of golf balls run out of her car. They literally opened the moonroof and just dumped them in, you know, load by load until it was up to the roof in the car.
That would be a nightmare. Yeah,
that's like all. What's even worse is I've seen someone do the like the packing popcorn. You know that when you receive a package, that popcorn in your car, and just like the little flakes that it leaves is the most annoying thing in the world. I can only imagine having it in my entire car.
Oh, it'd be the worst. It would be absolutely.
I would leave it and pay someone to clean it.
You have to. Yeah. No. Yeah, absolutely not. You're not getting involved with that at all. To answer the question, though, we got sidetracked. Gibson, Bademosi, Robertson, not heard anything. I know that the team wants to get something done with all of those guys, but I have not heard anything in terms of progress on those fronts. You know, they got John Hughes done. We know that. But nothing yet on Gibson, Bademosi, or Robertson.
No, and you wouldn't expect that. I mean, you'll see, I think the Indianapolis Colts reported that Boom Heron had signed his tender. So as we get closer, the next 15, 20 days for these guys to want to come in and, you know, actively participate in OTAs, they're gonna be signing their tenders. And there's actually a significant difference because these tenders are so much more now as a part of the CBA, the new CBA, than they were when you received a tender back in the day. Like my tender for as a fourth rounder was $750,000, which was a lower tender, where the low tender now is what, 2.1, I believe?
Yes.
And a first round tender is almost what, $4 million?
It's like
almost $4 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was more than $1 million difference.
Yes, significantly different. So that's good money, I think, for a guy like Craig Robertson, who's essentially it's on a prove-it deal for Tashaun Gibson to go out and get a deal done. Robertson, who wants to stay here in Cleveland, Cleveland Browns man of the year. Of course he wants to stay here.
Of course, exactly. Of course he wants to stay here. 216-578-0850. Again, if you missed it, we were talking a little bit about the fallout from Texgate and the fact that the team will have a plan in place that will have all of those players that could potentially be released, as you do have some shuffling of the bottom of the 53 usually at that period. They will have that all in place and all set up. And you've got Bill Kuharik, who's been a GM. You've got Morocco Brown, who's been high up with the Redskins and also high up now with the Browns. You've got Dan Sagony. Guys who are very, very capable that will be kind of overseeing that process for those 4 weeks without Ray Farmer. Because really that's what it is. It's bottom of the roster,
sure,
tweaking and refining.
No doubt. And the other great thing, the bit of news that's come out on multiple different sources, is Urban Meyer, you know, commenting about the Browns' due diligence in regards to pre-draft analysis. And he talked very highly of Mike Pettine. He's like, I love that guy. I love how he's involved. I love what he's doing. So, for those of you Browns fans out here who are also extremely, you know, fanatical Buckeye fans, the man running the show down in Columbus is doing a very good job in recruiting and sending a lot of guys to the National Football League and preparing them, thinks very highly of what the Cleveland Browns are doing from a pre-draft standpoint and the way they analyze football players.
And that is the key because of what happened. You know, obviously, there's a lot of off-the-field stuff that needs to go. People need to address and identify. And, yes, you need to be diligent, and the team knows that. Dwayne Bowe, there's an article right now at ClevelandBrowns.com. Dwayne Bowe, written by Kevin Jones, saying that he is back in a system where he can thrive, which I thought was good. You talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
How did? What was your? What were your impressions?
Well,
of
first
him?
And foremost, and prior to doing the interview, and why I've been such a big fan of Dwayne Bowe, as we listed those available free agent wide receivers: Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, Jeremy Maclin, and Dwayne Bowe. I was a fan of him then, and simply because in 2007, 2008, his first and second years in the league, I was playing with the San Diego Chargers. 2007 and 8, I was a starter as well. And I just remember Bo balling against us. So I went back and looked up the stat, 8 catches, 155 yards, and a touchdown against us as a rookie. You know, and we actually lost to the Chiefs, at home in San Diego. And I brought that up, and he's like, man, it's like, I need to have you as like my PR guy, you know. And I would just tell him, like, dude, catching the ball in traffic, the big body,
sure,
your ability to go up and get the football. And more so than anything, we asked him, you know, why Cleveland? You know, what about Coach Pettine and John DeFilippo, you know, wanted you to come play here? And the greatest thing that you could pull out of it is the similarity with which he felt in Kansas City.
Yeah.
A crazy fan base, a crazy loyal fan base, you know, a team trending upward. He also mentioned the fact, we asked him about, you know, what quarterback. He doesn't care. He's played with a dozen quarterbacks there in Kansas City over his 8-year career.
He's used
he
to
doesn't
that.
Care. He's coming to do his job. And again, the article written by ESPN.com, I believe, also just says, sit back and watch. So it's the rebirth of Dwayne Bowe. Simply because he's 30, 31 years old doesn't matter a whole lot. I think he's got a lot left in the tank, and a fresh start here in Cleveland is going to be a great part of the resurgence on offense for Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns.
Well, again, listen, Andy Reid said that he is a consummate professional there. He wasn't a focal point of their offense last year, but still had 60 catches, 764 yards. They didn't really use him in the red zone. He's going to be used in the red zone here. And Flip is a guy who is very excited about having that big receiver, and now they've got him in Dwayne Bowe. So I think it's a great signing for the Browns, and it was good to kind of see that he thinks he's, you know, one of the reasons that he came here, the great fan base, a team on the rise, but also he thinks this is an offense that will suit his skills very, very well. And the Browns did not have that last year. Even when Josh Gordon came back, it was not necessarily a fit, you know, with what was happening in that offense. And he struggled, and he and Brian Hoyer struggled. And part of the reason that Hoyer had those awful numbers had to do with Josh Gordon, the return of Josh Gordon. Whereas this seems to be a very good fit for Dwayne Bowe's skills, which is good to hear, and he's excited about it.
No, no doubt. And I think also, too, the fact of the matter that, you know, John DeFilippo has had the ability to go out and watch all of last year's film, but then also, too, understand who he's going to have in a system. You get Andrew Hawkins back at a true three. You've got Hartline and Bowe. Do we add a receiver? Do we not? Where does Gabriel fit? Where does Benjamin fit? So all those kinks are going to get worked out by the time we become a well-oiled machine in September.
All right, when we come back, 216-578-0850, let's talk about these wide receivers. Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, who went to a prom. Did you ever go to a prom as an NFL player? Did you ever do one of those things?
I did not.
Nobody ever wanted you to go to prom with them?
Nobody ever offered. Nope.
Nobody ever offered?
Nope.
Sorry.
Still available.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to go to prom with you now,
you'd have to
ask
my wife.
If she would allow it?
Yeah. She would say yes.
She'd probably say yeah.
She would.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Wilhelm, it's available harmless for prom season.
You can rent me out.
There it is. Rent him out. Rent him out. We'll be back with more here on ESPN 850 WKNR. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's Gerd Wilhelm, the Dog Bowl in Berea.